Can someone say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Unfortunately, I can only speak for 15 minutes today, and I'm 15 minutes late. The phone that I normally use, for some reason, I can't understand why the electricity... Oh, when the inverter's on, if the electricity's off, the plugs don't work. I also miscalculated what day it was today. I looked and I thought it was something else. I guess I'll just say something for 15 minutes what I've been doing, and that's... I think I'm going to start... I do the 10th canto now with Brahma Vimohan Lila. We gave class today, and I'm back in Vrindavan, and it's quite a wonderful group of people there today. I wasn't expecting to speak, so let me see what I'll talk about. Usually I'm not at a loss for words. I don't have a book here either, but I guess we want to do the start with Krishna Leela again, and it's rasa. It's one of the ways in which we get rasa. Our goal is rasa. And what rasa means, rasa, we say bhakti rasa. Well, what rasa means is an overwhelming experience. And generally, it's an overwhelming experience that's communicated through poetics. An overwhelming experience means like tragedy or romance. There's certain emotions in the world that are all-consuming. And the poetic theory by Bart Mooney is that if these experiences... it is a science of recreating these experiences in drama or poetry in such a way that you feel the same thing. And there's a whole aesthetic theory in India that how this was a very spiritual experience. Spiritual means to get free from false ego. Basically, everyone has two voices within their hearts. One is the voice of the soul, and one is the voice of the false conception of ourself, which is the false ego. And the false ego is always looking at things as objects of one's enjoyment. And that's material consciousness. Material consciousness is when you put yourself in the center, and spiritual consciousness is when you serve the center. So, spiritualized means to get rid of the false ego. And the real ego is the mood of love and service, because that's our identity, because we're part of something greater. And specifically, and this is a really very, very important point, that really what piety is, real spiritual piety, and don't read this through your own frame of reference or look at it in a purely psychological way, is real spiritual experience, real, which is humility, is the desire to be part of something greater than oneself. and not only be part of something greater than oneself, but the tendency to take dictation from something greater than oneself. Just like, you know, family, right? Let's say an intact family. In an intact family, the members of that family have a higher dictation of their life than their individual wants and needs. They take dictation from the unit, which includes their needs. Or community, everyone's looking for community or mission. And one surrenders and takes dictation and follows an objective and a dictation of an entity greater than oneself. And ultimately, that's the spiritual position where one is very, very happy to serve. And what does serve mean? Serve means you're taking a dictation from something higher than yourself. And the spiritual position, the ultimate spiritual position, is that dictation is coming from the divine absolute reality, which we're part of. So that's real piety, a pious person. And that type of piety, the attraction to surrender to something greater than one's own individual desire to enjoy, is the real demarcation of piety. And when one has that, one can enter into the world of rasa. One can enter into the world of one's own relationship with God and feel it. And if one doesn't have that, one can enter into that. And the classic example is in the Bhagavatam, the second verse of the Bhagavatam. The second verse of the Bhagavatam, where I've explained this many, many times, where it says in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, it says, if one hears the Bhagavatam once, then God becomes arrested in one's heart. One's relationship with God is awakened, and that love arrests God within the heart. If you hear it once, and the question that Jiva Goswami asked is why this doesn't happen to us. We've heard the Bhagavatam many times. And his conclusion is because we're not pious enough to want to hear the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. And therefore, therefore the full effect of our hearing of the Bhagavatam doesn't take place. And he said, because what is the conclusion of the Bhagavatam? The conclusion of spiritual life, that one must surrender to Guru and Krishna. Borijan Prabhu, always in a humorous way, says, you know, after studying the Bhagavatam, studying Prabhupada's books deeply for 40 years, I've come to the conclusion that the essence of spiritual life is surrender to Guru and Krishna. You know, and it's kind of charming because he's so studious, but that is the conclusion. And it's not a conclusion, it's not a conclusion that's easily accepted, appreciated, and digested from a egotistical, infected conception of life. So, so what happens is when you hear the Bhagavatam regularly and over and over and over and over again, finally you assimilate and accept the message that I should surrender to Guru and Krishna. This diksha, this initiation, is not just the fire ceremony. It's the beginning of the process where real initiation takes place, where one gives oneself fully to God through the representatives of God that have touched one's life and who represent in your experience the will and instruction of God, the internal, external manifestation of the super soul. So what happens is one really assimilates that message and actually really wants to hear that message and understands the beauty of that message. Then one surrenders to Krishna, and at that point, Krishna accepts one as his very self, accepts one as good as his self, accepts one in relationship. And when that happens, one begins to experience rasa, which is a love of God, and a love of God in relationship with God. And when that happens, one's approach to the Bhagavatam completely shifts. One looks at the Bhagavatam not just for instruction, but for an inspiration and a feeling of rasa. It's a glorification of God which inspires in one one's own sentiments of relationship with God. To such an extent that Jiva Goswami, in his commentary on the third verse of the Bhagavatam, which is Nigama Kalpa Swaro Galitam Phalam Sukha Mukhar Amrita Drabya Shabyatam Vipita Bhagavatam Rasa Alaya. To drink, he says, drink this rasa. Nigama Kalpa Toro Galitam Phalam. That Nigama Kalpa Toro, it's the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge. This is the conclusion of Vedic knowledge. The conclusion of Vedic knowledge is to surrender to God and enter into a loving relationship with God. Therefore, it's also understood that the message of the Vedas is to give up false ego. And therefore, it says, Yasya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata guru. For one who has implicit faith in the spiritual master and the supreme Lord, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. So what does that mean, the imports of the Vedas are revealed? And the very interesting commentary by Jiva Goswami on that verse, and it's the same understanding. To see something that is there, you sometimes have to be looking for something that is there. So the message of the Vedas is what? To give up false ego. And one has, so unless one is practicing that platform, aspiring for that platform, one won't see that import there. So unless one has that faith in Guru, faith in Krishna, and faith in Guru and faith in Krishna means faith in the authority, spiritual authority, that one wants to follow and live one's life by, which is the humble position, which is giving up false ego. Giving up false ego means to no longer take dictations from the voices in the consciousness that say, I am the enjoyer and controller. But rather, listen to the voice of God as it comes through his representatives in terms of how our life should move. So when one has faith in that, some appreciation for that, some experience of that, one will see that. One will see that. And when one sees that and has faith in that and assimilates the instructions of that, one develops a very, very clear vision that I am meant to be a servant. And when one develops that vision, what does a servant do? A servant lives and guides one's life by the desires and will of whom one is serving. And one has conviction of that. And that opens the door for one's relationship with Krishna. Anyway, so I started that with the group today, the Bhagavatam and the story, the Leela, the pastime. And there's philosophy in it, but there's also rasa. It's an exemplary presentation of love that inspires one to aspire for it. And that's the spiritual life is simply based on the level of our desire and what we're wanting and what our faith is in. And I love that definition by Prabhupada of faith, that faith means to trust in something sublime. Your faith is in what you feel will give you sublimity. And faith in bhakti means the trust, the implicit faith.
One second, I got it.
Okay. Let me get back to the what I'm speaking on. And so we're talking about faith and the trust and where the sublimity of it lies. And that's where you move. So that faith comes by hearing. And hearing with faith. Let's see. Okay. I probably can go about 5 more minutes. Would anybody like to ask any questions? Let me see if I can unmute this for a second. Hare Krishna, can anybody hear me? Maybe you can, but 1 second.
Yes, Marsh. Yes, Marsh.
Anybody like to ask a question or say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
That's Gail?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. A question or just saying hello?
Jesus, saying hello. And all of
okay,
you saying
you.
How you're...
Okay. I didn't hear you. What?
I was just trying to say how I always appreciate how your lectures, they always seem to spell out whatever is in my heart. And it's really so a wonderful experience when that happens, and it happens, you know, often.
Well, thank you for the encouragement, Gail, because you know me, I take these sanghas very seriously, and I've been doing them for, you know, so many years, and it's confusing with them. I'm in India, and I looked this morning at the calendar. I keep it on American time, the calendar, and it said Saturday. I said, oh, it's Saturday there. And then I didn't realize that by evening it became Sunday morning there. But Rutte somehow sent me a message, so, you know, I was able to get on and give something. But I'm glad that some good came out of it, because I really do get disturbed when I kind of mess up and don't give the class. And my phone is not charged, so it's literally, let me see, yeah, it's six times as much on the phone I'm using. I have an iPhone here rather than some other phone that connects. But anyway, that's why I have this, so I have a backup in case the other one is. Okay, anybody else like to say hello that still stayed on? I appreciate it so much.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry.
Henry, how you go? Thinking of Washington and thinking of visiting soon. I guess when I come back.
Can't wait.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say hello? Who's that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Who is it? Oh, Chaitanya Priya. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, we'll go. Thank you. Vanchukalpa Tugu.